adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Dr. Bruce, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, emergency medicine specialist, and a whiz with a tattoo, everybody. Get rid of your tats. Make you look 20 years younger.
Wrinkles, tattoos, we'll get rid of.
That's right.
Whatever you got.
Right. A man who has no wrinkles. Stephen Baldwin is in here tonight from Celebrity Mole, which is on ABC Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock. Celebrity Mole Yucatan, which I don't know where it is, but it looks great. Is it good? Well, last Celebrity Mole you did was Hawaii, right?
Hold on a second. Drew, if you're listening, I already like this guy better than you.
Oh, man.
Okay? I just want to start like that.
And that's all it takes, by the way.
This will be my last show.
No, Drew.
No,
out.
I don't. Yeah,
Bruce,
please.
He's got
Drew Schmoo. It's like when Howard got rid of that other guy. See? Now he's just the other guy.
That's right. You mean we got rid of Jackie Martley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's time for a change over here.
Jackie Martley?
It's time for turnover. Jeez. It's time for facelift. You know what we want to do? We want to do with this show? We want to do the same thing.
What was that?
This kid calls in about 6 months ago, and I'm filling in. Where's Dr. Drew?
What we want to do with this show is the same thing you do to the ladies with the laser.
Whoa.
We want to give it a facelift. We want to give it a new look. It's got to be fresh. It was stale. Drew's been here for 20 years. The man's burnt out. We need some fresh blood pumping in this show.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. Bruce may be the new sheriff in town.
Mm.
Yeah, more of a Barney Fife, actually. I'll be the sheriff.
I'd work with you.
Listen, if I paid you a nickel, you'd come here 6 days a week and cut my nuts while I was talking. Are you kidding me?
Hey, please. Now.
He's a desperate man.
Calm down.
Sorry. Stephen Baldwin is here. Stephen is here from the Celebrity Mole. Now, last Celebrity Mole, there's a little controversy with Stephen and Kathy Griffin.
I don't know what you're talking about.
This year.
By the way, what can you do for her face?
I've lasered
sorry.
Her.
I'm sorry. You did?
Yeah.
You lasered Kathy Griffin's face?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not confidential because I think we did it on Loveline when they did it.
You lasered?
No.
Did it help at all?
She looked like Phyllis Diller before he got to her. So
I think she's attractive.
She's a good-looking lady. And let me say this. A dear, dear friend. A dear friend. Bruce, stop coughing.
That's not me coughing.
Now, Dennis Rodman is on this show. Did he behave? Did you get along with him? How many people did you know? Did you know Ananda Lewis or Angie Everhart or Mark Curry or any of these people?
I knew Corbin because we did the first Celebrity Mole together.
Oh, that's right, Corbin. Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Dennis just because, you know, I'd see him around at church.
Right. It doesn't surprise me.
Or actually, nightclubs that had been converted into nightclubs that were previously churches.
Right.
Like Limelight in New York. But anyway, I knew Ananda, of course, from her fabulous MTV days.
Right.
I didn't know Tracy Gold. She's an absolute doll.
You got along with her?
She's a doll.
All right.
One of the nicest people I've ever met in the industry.
Now, how about Angie Everhart? Because, you know
I've met her.
She's headstrong.
I've met her, seen her around, and I know people who know her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you get along okay with her?
She's a doll.
Wow. All right, so no big riffs with any of the other celebrities this time around?
No, that Keisha, what's her name? What's that little Cosby kid?
Yeah, Keisha Knight Piley.
Pulliam.
Yeah, Bixby.
Pulliam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't get along with her too good?
Well, it wasn't that I didn't get along with her. It's just that she didn't, you know, I didn't like how she played the game. She was boring.
Mm-hmm.
She's cute, but she was just boring.
Now, how do you compare this to last year's Celebrity Mole? Better? Worse? Different?
Well, it was better for me because it was my second shot at, like, trying to do anything.
Is it 250 grand? Is that the grand
prize? You went 250 large. They fly in. I got to tell you something. If they ever do this again.
Yes.
They fly in. They fly your family in, first class all the way,
mm-hmm.
a week or two, like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
In the Yucatan?
We stayed at the lovely Occidental Flamenco Hotel
mm-hmm.
In Cancun.
Wow.
Basically, the Yucatan is Cancun.
Right.
But we stayed at the Occidental Xcaret Flamenco. I don't know what it is. It's a big resort, and it's fabulous,
now,
beautiful.
Did you like it better than Hawaii?
I liked it better than Hawaii.
All right. Why?
Just because, well, it was my second time, as I said. And it was a lot more fun because I'd kind of been through the ropes, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Right.
And I, but you know, unlike a lot of people in that situation who would have come back, like, you know, with all kinds of agendas about how to really try to win.
Right.
I didn't do that. I just came to have a blast, which is what I always do, and brought my wife and kids and had a great time.
All right. Well, good. Mazel tov mm-hmm. is...
Praise the Lord.
Drew's, actually, I'm not Jewish, but Drew's half Jew, so he might say mazel tov. And didn't Kathy Griffin win last year?
Yeah, the
Your arch nemesis.
Well, no, she's not my arch nemesis.
That's a lot of plastic surgery, $250,000.
I think she's just whacked.
Yeah, she's a little nutty.
I goofed around with her. She wigged out. Like,
she got issues.
She's a psycho.
Yeah. She's a dear, dear friend of the show, though. We can't say horrible things about her.
Well, she's that thing that the stand-ups... See, you're a successful guy. You come from stand-up, but you've adjusted into society and reality well. Unlike most stand-up comics. Most of them are psychos who can never differentiate between art and life.
Yeah. Well, you got to understand.
You're talented enough to not have to use this exchange here, like, in your routine.
Oh, I see. I see.
See, that's what's a really sad reality about stand-up comics.
Right. Well, I don't really have a routine. It's my sad reality.
Well, you don't need one.
But, well, thank you.
Because you're talented.
Well, thank you,
Steven. And you've advanced... successfully well beyond just your stand-up talents.
Well, I'll tell you what goes on, I think. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. Wow, out of the blocks. Just a little bit ass-kiss, and I like that.
Of course.
Let me say this.
I'm not stupid.
Most comedians are neurotic. They absolutely are. That's what drove them to the business. That's where the sense of humor comes from. It's born of that pain they had as children and so on and so forth. Now, female comedians are super neurotic. So you're dealing with a group there that's almost a breed of dog, in that once in a while you find a calm Dalmatian, but not very often. And it's the same with the female stand-up comedians. They're a little nutty. There's stuff in them. There's stuff inside of them. And it's
but
growing.
Unfortunately, what stand-up comics are doing is they're creating a reputation for themselves like the pit bull, where eventually everyone's going to think that, like, they're going to turn and bite them. You know what
right.
I mean? Every time I meet a stand-up comic, I won't talk about anything meaningful or personal in my life.
Yeah, because oftentimes they can't shut it off, and they're on all the time. And
that's what I mean. Like, Paulie Shore, I love him. He's my buddy. We do Biodome together.
Yeah.
I see him, like, a year and a half later. You know, I bumped into him a couple places, but I see him, and I, like, you know, we have a coffee, and he's like, hey, dude, so my Baldwin Brothers thing went over big. At Lake Havasu. I'm like, what? He goes, oh, yeah, I do a whole thing about you and all those stories you told me about your family. I'm like, oh, you know, wow. Okay. I just hung up that phone quick.
Yeah. I tried to do some material on Bruce, but everyone was like, who? What? I was like, you know, Dr. Bruce, Dr. Spaz. And then they all clapped.
You meant Lenny Bruce.
They all clapped when I said Dr. Spaz.
But it seems like there are two types of comedians, the ones that are insecure and their demons drive them, and then the ones that are very secure and genius-like, which Adam is. I hate to say it, but he sees things. He's able to, you know, make those analogies. Analogies are...
All right, I'm blushing.
Anybody who can just, you know, he's had tremendous success. Obviously, he's carved a little niche for himself. But more than that, I think the only reason that any of the Corolla thing works is he's weird.
Yeah. Well, he's who he is on the show, which is...
But you know, kudos.
Oh, well, thank you.
He's
taking
with a hammer in your belt.
All right, let's roll.
He's taken the weird ball and just run with it, hasn't he?
Bruce, I'm the same off the air, am I not?
Oh, yeah.
maybe more.
You're a curmudgeon.
Oh, come on, buddy.
That's a compliment.
Bruce, come on. We're thick as thieves. Uh-huh. All right, now be quiet. Let's move forward. Stephen Baldwin in here tonight from Celebrity Mole, which is ABC, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock. And let's talk to Matthias. Matthias.
Yeah.
You're 18. What's up?
My penis pops.
Mm-hmm. It's got that, you can crack it, like you can crack your knuckle.
Sort of. Yeah, it's just a weird popping thing.
Not okay. When it's hard or soft?
It's got to be hard.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
hard.
You have to establish that.
It's hard, and okay. You do it just like when a pianist before he plays the piano does that. You
right.
Know,
just like your mother tells you never to do that.
Before you hop into bed, you give that snap.
Right. Well, when it's hard, it's almost like there are ligaments that connect it, and when you're stretching those, sometimes you hear a popping sound. I mean,
yeah.
It's not something, just like some people can pop their knuckles. And
yeah,
other people can.
It can happen. I used to be able to do it.
Right. There are penile fractures. You can have trauma when the penis is erect, and that's a different story. You'll hear a popping, but then you've ruptured the sponge-like tissue that creates the erection. So that's a totally different thing. Sounds like you're talking about you're entertaining people with this popping.
Yeah. You have a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Does she like it, or does it freak her out?
She's not quite sure what to do about it, because she was listening to Sex Talk with Sue, and she Sue said that it breaks and it'll fall off and all sorts of horrible crap. And so I wanted to make sure that my penis indeed stay
intact. You just wanted to drop that name. That's my point. I don't know.
Who?
It must be another show. But anyway.
Who?
There you go. All right, I'm just going to hang on. I just made this question up so we could drop somebody's name in. But here's the whole thing, too. If you're going to drop in the name of another radio show or TV show or something like that, it's great advertisement for the show, except for when the three people go, who's that?
Yeah.
Then it's sort of bad advertisement for the show. All right. Well, you got out of the gates poorly, Bruce, I must say, but we're looking to rebound with Linda, who's 19. Linda?
It's Brenda.
That's Linda.
You're
right
a little slow out of the gates yourself.
Whatever.
What does the screen say, Bruce?
You're in charge here, Adam.
What does the screen say, you jack off? How dare you?
Hi, Brenda.
Current and past boyfriend.
Now, what's the name
say? The name.
All right. Go ahead, Brenda.
Okay. Do you want the health question first, the emotional question?
Give us whatever's more entertaining.
All right. I don't know which is entertaining. The bleeding during sex thing. I
want
to know what's
up with
that.
I want the other question.
Do you want the other one? Okay.
Well, that's an easy one. You need to have a pelvic exam. You might have some. You could have a lesion there that's causing it, or it could be ectopic endometrial tissue that's bleeding and it's relatively.
Well, I had a pap smear since that happened.
You haven't?
She's had one.
Okay. It happened once in December. All right. And it had been kind of sore for a couple of weeks, but yeah. Having sex by every day, and I think that it might just be overused kind of.
Some women just bleed when they have sex.
Right. It can be normal. The point is, whenever you have vaginal bleeding, you need to be reevaluated, even if you had a pelvic, 3-6 months ago, because there could be lesions there that are related to a sexually transmitted disease. You could have a growth that wasn't there that's there now. I mean, things change. So, you can go into a differential diagnosis of all the different things it could be. You need to have a pelvic again.
I've had one since that happened, but then I didn't really ask about it because, I don't know, it was kind of embarrassing. And then...
Is it continued to happen?
Well, it got sore again, and I'm worried that it will happen.
Go to the goddamn gyno, would you?
Yeah. So
I
in other words,
already.
Because
I
you
did,
open
I
with
did.
The world. All right, have a go and get out of here. Jesus Christ! I swear, like if I say to someone, "Let's go," give me a good question. I think they drag their feet intentionally.
All
right.
You need to be paid. That's why I'm.
She went to the gyno. She did like an idiot though. She didn't tell him about the bleeding. She just went and got a regular checkup. The person said everything's fine. And now it isn't bleeding. It's just there's a soreness. Listen, ladies, it ain't a catcher's mitt. You use it enough, it starts getting a little sore on you.
Her emotional problem might be better, won't we?
No. She screwed the pooch. Screw her.
All right.
I gave her a shot.
Adam Carolla is God.
That's right. That's right. Coming to a radio station near you. I want to talk to Chris because I saw anal sex up there. Chris?
Hello? Hey.
I don't believe you already.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you guys.
Okay, what's happening?
Okay, I was just basically wondering if there's any way you can get an STD from having anal sex.
Impossible.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, and it mucus.
What do you mean, really? You're 19 years of age. You haven't heard anything about getting a venereal disease via anal sex?
No, I haven't.
You can get everything.
Where are you from?
He's actually calling from Utah, so maybe.
There you go. Are you a Mormon?
I'm not.
You guys have AIDS over there?
No, we got a lot of Mormons.
Okay.
Are you a Mormon?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
Mormon,
but listen, anywhere you have skin, you're protected against, you know, if you drip blood on your skin, something that might be a conduit for bacteria. But where you have mucous membranes, whether it's anal, vaginal, your urethra, your throat, I mean, a lot of people say, well, I just had oral sex, and pharyngeal gonorrhea is very common, anal gonorrhea. You can get anything that you can get through normal sex, through anal sex. I've seen some huge...
Please tell us.
The anal warts.
Have you seen some huge ones?
The variety that look like cauliflower. Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
And on who? Were you squatting on a mirror? Where were you when you saw these said anal warts? Really?
The last time I was...
Kathy Griffin?
That's what he used the laser on.
Oh, that's...
Took the laser right to the cauliflower.
You comedians, I guess it's cutthroat business, you could say. No, but seriously, now why does he think... Why are you concerned that you might have
Bruce
an anus?
It's like, hey, Kathy, you're looking... Oh, that's your anus. Oh, no. Bend over again.
That's a good friend of the show.
Now, she's a dear friend. I've known her for many years. But, you know, listen, she dishes a little dirt. I can do a little dishing myself.
Okay.
All right, so... The point is, Kathy Griffin, dear friend,
right.
Anal warts.
Cauliflower, what?
Anal warts, good or bad?
Anal warts are bad.
Bad. Cauliflower in the ass?
They're different.
Bad.
There are dozens of different strains of virus, different strains. And the different, if you want to call them species, or think of it that way, the different strains cause different shaped lesions.
They look like cauliflower.
Enough. Some are very flat. You can't even see them. Others grow out. But this guy needs to get... He's sore. I'm not sure.
Chris.
Yeah.
Are you and who's having anal sex? You and a guy? You and a girl?
No, it was me and a girl. Me and my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, here's the whole thing. And I mean, stop me if I'm wrong, but anal is the best mode to spread any venereal disease, right? Because you have the tension, the extra tension, the extra mucosal membranes and stuff down there, and then you have the wild card thing, which is God's wrath. I mean, God sort of punishing you a little bit for providing in this sort of unholy union. Do you not?
There's probably more tissue trauma there. And any time, again, the surface of the penis, that skin is more resistant to bacteria. But when you scrape it, bleeding.
If I could have sex with you and it was like that game Operation where my penis didn't touch the wall of anything and it just sort of went in and out, there'd be zero.
Right.
But if it, I was trying to squeeze it through a keyhole, there'd be a lot of trauma, right? Then the anus is certainly tighter than other orifices in the body.
Depending on how much exercise it's received. But
Right. Steven, not anal off the list for you now, yes?
Absolutely.
That's right. Not a fan of it myself. Anyway.
I mean, he needs to look at it as any other kind of penetrating sex. He needs to use a condom, but he needs to get evaluated. What are your symptoms of...
He says he has symptoms. Just tell him to go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor.
All right, what are your symptoms, Chris?
Are you a Mormon?
why in God's name are you asking me if I'm Mormon?
That's Dr. Drew asking from whatever ski lodge he's at right now. What are your symptoms?
The symptoms basically are just... severe itching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically it. So, I...
What itches? Your penis itches?
No. Just like near my ball sack.
Yeah. Well, that's somewhere around your penis, right?
You know, my balls always itch, usually, you know, but not... Not as
okay, well, there's no way to tell, but it's
what, is it some sort of jack-off night tonight? some sort of national competition
here.
Yeah,
it doesn't help.
Baldwin doesn't, he doesn't attract the
Harvard
crowd.
He said he went Baldwin.
Baldwin.
He's hung up on the balls.
No, that's an excellent call, and if
somebody's
listening, because if someone's calling with a question like that, it means there are a lot of people out there that might have the same question or misunderstanding. Anal sex is very risky, and if this gal likes it, it means she's had it before a lot, and obviously
is that
the guy
what it means?
And also in that God's wrath type of way,
yeah.
For the kids out there that think that, you know, especially the girls in high school, et cetera, that think they're still a virgin.
Yeah, there's a handful
but
of
they're
them
letting,
out there.
But they're letting the boys, like, go back door there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Read your Bible, kids.
Yeah. That is
virginity is a spiritual reality as well.
That's right. BJ's, back door, nasal, ear penetration, it all counts. Yes? Here's what Drew and I used to talk about. Don't look at the hymen as just the thin sheath of skin that's inside the vagina, but look at it as an imaginary plane, a barrier over almost every opening. That once it's broken, the hymen is broken. Meaning your mouth has a hymen, mm-hmm. your ass has a what I like to call a B-hymen. That's
right.
That's rear side. Your hand when you do this with it, when you make it into that sort of senior Wences fist, that's a hymen. If you want to say you're virgin, you have to keep all these hymens intact. These planes cannot be broken,
like the football goal line.
That's right. You cannot cross that plane.
I'd like to suggest that you utilize this philosophy in regard to your mind as well. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Your mind should have a hymen, Adam.
That
should never be broken.
My uncle.
I want you to pray about that.
Broke it in the basement of my father's house when I was just a lad. And that's why I need therapy today. But Stephen agrees with me on my hymen plane breaking theory. The mouth, the hand, the ass, it's all, you can't break the plane.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You are not a virgin if you get something in your coolie.
Yeah. I'll take issue with your God's wrath and God's AIDS. Whatever else you're talking about, biblical principle.
You're a man of science, but I'm a man of God. You understand? And I understand. Now, here's what I think of, as long as if we're going to get semi-serious about this. I do think that nature doesn't let certain things go on. Like, I do think that, there's a certain amount of the population that's going to be gay and a certain amount of the population that's going to kill themselves and a certain amount of the population that's going to kill other people. And it's a sort of built-in way that nature keeps the populace at bay, or at least an attempt to keep the populace at bay. And you can call it nature or God or whatever. And I do think stuff like AIDS, without sounding like I'm, just some horrible right-wing Bible thumper, because I'm not. But I do think that at the point where you're opening up bathhouses and you're putting glory holes and stalls and you're having lines of 20 guys line up to bust a nut and then head back out for another daiquiri, eventually nature slides in and puts an end to it. And then that's basically what happened with AIDS in my humble
opinion. You're just jealous.
I am jealous, too, yeah, because I was, like, 21st in the line and got cut off right at the end.
Who said that?
That's Engineer Anderson.
Oh.
Who's a lot like God, except if God had a tattoo on his left calf.
I threw the kumbaya on before.
That's him.
Yeah.
All right, now these are all very heady topics that we'll spend some time on, but we have to take a break. Stephen Baldwin is here from Celebrity Mole,
Hello.
NBC, Wednesday
Hello.
Nights at 10 o'clock. Hello. Dr. Bruce. Filling in for Dr. Drew quite adequately. And it's Adam Carolla sitting in for Adam Carolla. So we'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Filling in for Dr. Drew. That's Stephen Baldwin, who is not filling in for anybody. And rightfully so. I don't even know what that means. Atmosphere, the band Atmosphere, is going to be here tomorrow night.
Hey,
Stephen is making a personal call. What city is the person you're talking to in?
No, I'm talking to my buddy. Are you driving in your car, Jimmy?
You don't have to do driving in your car, by the way. You can just say, are you driving?
106.7.
People know what you're talking
Turn
about.
Turn on, dog, because I'm going to give a shout-out to
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
let's maintain the high quality.
I gave him a shout-out.
All right. 6.7, doggy.
Listen, I'm going to plug Cabin Fever. Now, here's the deal. Sit on down, Stephen. We got to plug this quick DVD giveaway here, which is Cabin Fever, the movie.
That movie.
It's coming out tomorrow, I think.
My
great
buddy produced that movie.
Oh, he did?
Jeff Hoffman produced that movie.
Fantabulous producer, this Hoffman.
That's right.
And
he's outstanding.
He whipped up a little gem.
Because he's a friend of mine.
Say dear friend, it sounds better.
Because he's a dear friend of mine.
Cabin Fever is his latest joint, as they say in the business. And the DVD is coming out tomorrow. If you call in and you're over 18, you get a DVD of Cabin Fever. And at the end of the week, we throw everyone's name in the hopper. And I don't even know if it's the end of the week, but at the end of something. And we pull out a name, and that person is going to Whistler, which is a big-time ski resort over there in Canada. And you and three of your friends, airfare, everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Great deal.
It is a good deal. And we've been
long
doing...
long as you don't sit up there in the first class and get cabin fever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then you go...
You know?
Then you...
You know what I'm saying?
Then you go to a cabin in Whistler and ski. You get airfare. You get lift tickets. You get the whole thing. So
gnarly.
That's the big Cabin Fever giveaway. And the movie's got to be great because the producer is a dear, dear friend of Stephen Baldwin.
Absolutely.
All right. All right.
Hey, should I plug some of my stuff now?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, let me plug. Let me just plug Celebrity Mole Yucatan, which is
all right.
Wednesday night's ABC. Well, guess who didn't win, everybody?
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I know what's going on. I can.
You
tell.
Don't know nothing.
You don't have the posture of a winner, Baldwin.
I'm exhausted from whoring for the dang thing.
Plus, I don't want to give too much away, but I saw him pull up in a $18,000 car. That's not the ride of a man who just won $250.
He's a humble man, Adam.
Oh, maybe it is.
Humility.
Tidings, too. Probably gave
I'm not
to
allowed
church.
To buy a vehicle that's more expensive than $50,000 now.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because the Lord won't allow it, Adam.
Really?
Yeah.
But I thought the Lord's ceiling was $30,000.
Well, depends on how much favor he shows you.
I see. I think you could do good for
He's obviously showed you a lot of favor.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, Denali?
He's been very
okay,
good to
350Z?
Me. The Denali was just a lend. I mean, that's not actually my vehicle. But go ahead. Give a plug, because what a lot of people don't know about Stephen Baldwin is as much as he kids about the Lord, that's his new best friend. I mean, you became born again how long ago?
2 years.
2 years. And why?
Well, it's a predestined reality, Adam.
Hmm. I mean, but you didn't bottom out or anything.
No.
And I mean this with all due respect.
I'm 15 years sober.
Oh, really? Yeah, because a lot of guys, you know, find it in the joint or find Jesus when they hit sobriety. Or there's a point. Their wife leaves them. They you know, they squander all their savings on crack, you know.
It was like a me and the wife thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the wife kind of got into it before me.
Right.
And then it was 9/11, dude.
Oh, really?
9/11 just totally shattered me.
Right.
Spiritually.
Interesting. And and before that, how religious were you? How were the Baldwins brought up? Were you guys going to church as children?
We were a bunch of rabbits running around, you know, Irish Catholic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
and a lot of that mating process kind of continued on to...
So you guys didn't go to church Sundays?
Well, we did, but you know, it's the church in this country is what it is, you know? I mean, you know.
Hard to argue just, with that statement, by the way.
Bro, it's a very simple thing.
Right.
Read the book of John.
All right. I'll write that down.
Ironically, I'm not kidding.
All right, book of John. I'm writing this down. Ironically, I may be reading it on the John. That's not disrespectful, though,
the
is
Lord
it?
Doesn't care where you're sitting, son.
All right. Book of
Read
John.
Read the book of John.
Now, what is the book of John?
It's a letter that was written to the world. By God,
yes. You read. Oh,
by God, through John.
Have you read the book of John?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wait, is that a separate book?
No,
Bible.
No. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, New Testament.
New Testament. New Testament.
You know, John 3:16. You see it at the football game. We can. Adam will relate.
At Rainbow Head.
The signs of the football stadium. You know.
3:16.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? John 3:16. So that's Bible, New Testament.
But Rainbow Head used to do that, and then he killed somebody.
Right. So not a good example.
Okay. And by the way, who's going to step up and be the new Rainbow Head? The guy with the big rainbow afro wig who's in the end zone of the playoff games holding the 3:16
Dennis
up?
Rodman,
that's right. Is that Rodman? All right. So read the book of John. That's what I should do.
You should read the book of John.
Okay. I'm going to do that.
All right,
you
so
should
now,
do that.
Now you consider yourself born again.
No,
right?
I don't consider myself.
You are.
I'm absolutely.
Well, that's the way I meant it.
Hootenanny.
I mean, it doesn't offend you for somebody to call you a born again Christian.
Oh, dude, it's like the greatest possible reality that exists. But it's something that. Well, I want to get back to something, which is
right.
you said. You know, we were talking about, like, people and their behavior, and you're talking about these clubs and men and doing these terrible things. And you have to understand, think about the whole time you've been alive.
All right.
Right? The whole time you've been alive, there's always been sick, crazy stuff, right?
Yes.
Okay. Has it diminished at all?
Not really.
Has it about stayed the same and maybe even just only gotten worse?
It probably gets worse, but our tolerance level, we're
right,
able to accept
right,
more.
Right, and
because
right.
we just start...
So here's the deal.
It's how a guy gets fat.
Here's the deal.
He doesn't put 100 pounds on in a weekend. He puts on 8 pounds a month over the course of 6 years.
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. It's going to get really worse.
Yeah.
And then the tolerance, but the worst part will get worse...
Mm-hmm.
And the tolerance won't get as acceptable.
Right.
And that's when, like, more 9/11 things are going to happen. Like, I don't mean terrorist attacks. I mean just horrible, terrible earthquakes and fires and things like that.
We can look forward to that soon.
In your lifetime, these things are going to happen.
All right. All right. All right. So this happened. This is the apocalypse, right?
Well, no.
No.
No, no, no. This is called the end times.
End times. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
See how he and I know and you don't? Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Read the book of John.
Not funny, haha. Funny, weird. But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the fifth Baldwin over here. Dr.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. It's the Baldwin who never got laid.
I just know what you're thinking.
I'll tell you what. Here's the thing that's so cool that he knows and I know. Ready? The fellowship and the brethren that we share, me and this young man, is closer than paternal brothers.
Ooh. Yeah,
because how hardcore is that?
You don't, because I know that communist atheist Alec doesn't share any of these beliefs.
Oh.
He's over there trying to save the whales, bang starlets.
I don't know about communist atheist, but I'd say that's a bit of an exaggeration.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
He ain't thumping the Bible, that boy though.
Yo, did you find my boy on Vans?
He's out trying to save the rainforest.
Did you find it?
And don't get me wrong, Alec, you know, dear friend, just like Kathy
just
Griffin.
Just like Kathy Griffin.
Yes. Mm. Ran into him at the airport some years ago, by the way. Had an enjoyable
Lex
conversation.
Lex
Luthor? The Alec. Yeah, is that what you call him?
I call him Lex Luthor.
He's and by the way, just a quick shout out to Alec. Career really having a renaissance. Not that it ever went away, but wow, just heating up with a lot of interesting roles and movies over the last year.
Just
or so.
Won some big award in New York.
Is that for The Cooler?
Yeah, just won some huge award for The Cooler.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice.
And he's got that.
How's he doing with the
that
Bourne?
Big Mike
with the Bourne Again
big
stuff.
Mike, that big Mike Myers movie just came out. He was in.
Oh yeah, yeah, Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
Guy's on fire.
Yeah,
he's doing well. He's a talented kid.
Yeah, and he's okay with the Born Again stuff.
He crapped in the bed.
I think that may have been him.
Yeah, from what movie is that?
That from
may have been
in.
When he was in here.
Oh, he's in the other room.
Oh, we get other Baldwins on occasion.
You own a ranch in Ojai?
That's him.
Anderson's
you heard? You know that voice, right?
Do you own a ranch in Ojai?
That was the voice you heard over your bunk right before he gave you a good ass whooping when you were 11, right?
Tell
crap
me about it.
The bed.
Well, so much for Born Again, huh?
The boys are the family's kind of like being very influenced, actually.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
And
as you will too, Adam. Actually,
there's Daniel and
down
there's
the
Billy,
road,
right? Now, here's my point. I don't know Daniel Baldwin, and I don't know Billy Baldwin. I do know Alec Baldwin, and my sense is that you might win over Daniel and Billy. I don't think you'll totally win over, but he'll be polite and just say, "Yeah, I'm into God too." Alec, that's not going to work. He's too busy out there. With his crazy liberal Hollywood friends out there trying to take down the man, he ain't into God.
God's the hound of the. What are they?
He's into God, man. He's just he's Going to take a little more time to come to Jesus, Adam.
Yeah, you have to show him the path to righteousness.
No. The Holy Spirit will show him the path.
Right. Right now he's...
I just have to be an example.
Yeah. He's getting hopped up on Zimas and chasing skirts right now. You're going to have to steer him back.
On what?
Zima.
What's
he likes
that?
Zima. That's his drink.
He's sober longer than I am.
Oh, he is?
You friggin' kook.
All right, so he's sober. Big deal. How long has he... You've been sober for how long?
15 years.
15 years, and how long has Alec been sober?
Like 18 or 19 years.
We've got to get him back on the booze. Let's take a little break.
You're a sick man, Corolla.
Stephen Baldwin here. And what about Daniel Baldwin and Billy Baldwin? Are they drinking? Are they sober? I know Daniel had a little run-in.
Billy's normal.
Yeah. I would call him the most normal of the Baldwin brothers. / boring.
He's the quietest of the Baldwin brothers.
All right, that's boring. Stephen Baldwin in here from Celebrity Mole Yucatan, Wednesday nights, ABC, 10 o'clock. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce.
Hello.
Stephen. The only Baldwin with ADD.
Yeah, I was going to say, tonight. I met somebody with worse ADHD.
It's
got to
be Greco. It's got to be, the last name has to be Greco.
Stephen Greco?
No. The dude I was just telling you about.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy, dude, we just went to the Vans website, and I can't, like, I'm looking for gnarly photos of you, dog, and I can't find nothing. Jimmy Greco.
Yeah, listen, you think this is your personal intercom?
Yeah, maybe he'll show up.
Your buddies or
invite him in.
How dare you?
I'm having a party over here at at Love Line, baby.
Come on.
All right, so, Greg, you're gnarly, dog, and I'm going to see you later tonight.
All right. Cabin fever, everybody.
What?
Now, that's
what?
Do I read that again?
I don't do anything.
Do you have to talk about cabin fever so much?
Because it's a promotion that we're doing that I don't get paid for, ironically.
Okay.
But it's a promotion that we're doing.
Isn't he a dork?
Slip that
it's
in.
The vest.
Well, I thought you got paid when you did these things. All right, anyway, the point is you get a DVD. If you call in tonight, you're over 18, you get a DVD. The movie has to be good because Stephen Baldwin's dear, 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 dear friend produced it.
Jeff Hoffman. He's the best.
You want to give a shout-out to Jeff Hoffman?
No, I want to give a shout-out to Jimmy Greco. Dude, anyone who can hear my voice right now, Jimmy Greco rocks.
Cabin Fever is another thing.
Search for him on your internet because he's shredding for the Van skate team, doggies.
All right, but let me finish the plug for your
other dear friend. He's probably going to like see me and just punch me in the head later.
Why don't you get his home phone out and maybe somebody can call him?
He's got to call me.
Don't
encourage him.
How do I get him to call in? What do I do?
Let me finish this crappy plug before I kill myself. Cabin Fever, and you don't get to go to heaven if you kill yourself, by the way.
You want me to read that for you? Like what?
Yeah, well, go ahead and read that and hurry.
Watch this.
I'll read it.
No, I want to read it.
All right, go ahead.
All right, you're the guest.
Go ahead.
No, and then, you read it, and then I'll just do it better. Go ahead.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, show them how an actor does it.
All callers who get on the air tonight will receive a Cabin Fever DVD and a chance to win a trip for four.
Dude, that was terrible, dude. Stick to the laser.
I just wanted to make you look good.
Stick to the laser. All callers who get on the air tonight will receive a Cabin Fever DVD, and will get a chance to win a trip for four to a ski vacation in Whistler.
That's a pro.
The prize will include airfare, lift tickets, and a cabin. Mm-hmm. The Cabin Fever DVD will be available in stores on January 20th. The winner will be announced next Sunday, January 25th.
And you have to be over 18.
So awesome. Stephen Baldwin. He's going to do the little Baldwin there.
Stephen, that was wonderful. I just want to get let's get a couple wild lines. Just give me three includes. I think we'll go ahead and paste that in. Go ahead.
What do I do?
Include. The word include got a little screwed up here. Just three wild lines. Just give me include.
Okay,
go ahead.
Ready?
Do it. Yeah.
Includes. Mm-hmm. Includes. Mm-hmm. Includes.
Okay, great, buddy. You're wrapped.
Thanks, buddy.
See, that's how it works.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
In Ojai?
Let me hear that again.
Do you own a ranch in Ojai?
Do you own a ranch in Ojai?
Wow.
It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah. The Baldwins sound alike. Well, actually, you and Alec probably look alike more so than Billy and Daniel. And is there a fifth one that I'm missing?
Yeah, he's sitting right over here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The fifth one. The only Baldwin that never got laid. Baldwin Bruce.
Oh!
Bruce Baldwin, everybody.
I'm a board-certified addiction medicine specialist.
Yeah,
I'm here as a professional, so I have, can't the, lower
after
myself.
All the Baldwins got done using Dad's van, they throw the keys to Bruce and be like, clean it up before you bring it back. Yeah. Yeah.
I know where he's from on Long Island, Massapequa. I know what you're all about.
Where are you from?
Jericho.
Well, then I know what you're all about.
Ooh.
Yeah, Spaz City. Brian?
Yes?
You're 19?
Yes. It's great to be on the air with you tonight, Adam.
It's great to have you. All right, this is a little something we call Germany or Florida, Stephen. All bizarre stories either emanate from Germany or Florida. Brian will tell us the story. We'll decide. Is it Germany or Florida? Go ahead, Brian.
All right, ready?
That's your cue.
Okay. An 11-year-old girl is accused of selling heroin on the street for her mother, sometimes dressed in her school uniform or nightgown, police said Tuesday. Investigators and prosecutors were deciding...
Germany or what?
Florida. Florida.
Mm-hmm. It's Florida.
Yeah. It smells like Florida to me, too. But we've been wrong the last few nights.
It's Florida.
It's Florida.
Steven says Florida. Bruce, Florida. I'm going to go Florida as well. Brian?
Say Florida?
Yes.
And you're right, South Miami.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, he's pecking up.
Steven, yes. Steven, you're all batting 1,000 in Germany, Florida. Steven, are you making another personal phone call? What is going on? You understand this goddamn radio show? What about your faith? Who are you calling?
I'm dragging something off the thing here. I'm calling little Jimmy.
All right, let's put the phone down.
I will. Stop yelling at me.
Make your phone calls during the break.
Maybe if I stun him with a laser, he'll, like, sit still.
All right, that's it. Good. Spencer, you're 15?
Yeah, hey.
What's happening?
Yeah, I was wondering, I was playing pool the other night with my friends, and, we got into a game, for money. It started out like, $5 or $10, and then by the end of the night, it was, up to $100. And I ended about, I was down like $30 by the end of the night, but I kept on betting and betting until I was in lots of debt. I was wondering if that was maybe like compulsive gambling or something.
Yeah. What about gambling addiction?
I've been doing some little interesting research on gambling, and it clearly is an addictive behavior. And as with other addictive behaviors, loss of control is one of the prominent features, and it's certainly... gambling in adolescence is becoming a real problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, especially with the internet access to gambling sites, gambling on sports events. And the first thing I'd ask you, do you have what's your family of origins like, and do you have a family history of addictions? Any alcoholics?
My grandpa's an alcoholic.
Okay. And what kind of a family did you grow up in? Was it fairly rigid, or was it chaotic? Real structured?
Not really.
You couldn't have hung up the phone any more quietly than that. You had to slam it down like some police commissioner.
I was talking to Jimmy, and I got the last name right, dude. Jimmy Greco, doggies.
Yes.
This is his bookie.
He rocks.
Okay.
Right, go ahead.
Who cares?
Thank you.
No, he rocks. This kid's sick. Go ahead.
So, Spencer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Steven. I saw you in Half Baked the other day. I was watching that. You were the MacGyver stoner.
What'd you think, dude?
That was high-quality, grade-A performance.
Now, wait a minute. You can't do any more of these kind of movies now that you've found Jesus Christ.
That's
right?
Correct.
You can't do it. These are sinful movies, yes?
Well, I don't even try to figure out if they're sinful or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. I can't really associate myself with anything that doesn't support my faith.
Right. So you don't want to do any, pot smoking burnout movies?
No.
Can't play any junkies or gays or anything like that.
You won't be seeing me in the sequel to The Usual Suspects, in other words.
Well, but now what about that? Something like The Usual Suspects. I mean, you played a criminal, but I don't believe your character was, I don't know. You weren't raping kids or anything. You were just like kind of a thug,
this is another interesting topic about Hollywood and actors and people who are calling themselves Christians, you know. I go by the book, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I go by the book.
What is that? Is that a Bible?
It's a Bible, son.
Wow.
It's the word of the Lord. It's the rule book, Adam.
Let's do a
Bible.
You ought
to read it.
Let's do a Bible test. I bet that you can flick to some random page of that Bible that Bruce could read it out loud into the microphone, and it would
make sense. There would be something poignant. There'd be something that has to do with some of the calls we got tonight or the theme of the show. What do you think about that challenge?
I think it's brilliant.
All right, flip it open. Let me just flip it to a right. Now, no looking through it. Let's just, I'm just going to shout out a page, all right?
A page?
Wow. Yeah.
No, this is going to be from the Holy Spirit.
I can feel the voice of the Holy Spirit pushing through me. We got to take a break. I'm going to say page 222.
Old Testament, no problem.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Stephen Baldwin is here. When we come back, a very dramatic reading of the Bible.
Do I get to read it without him interrupting me again?
Yes. Yes, you do.
Cut.
Deuteronomy, bro. This is going to be big.
Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
No.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm
Deuteronomy.
Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr.
Deuteronomy.
Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew.
Deuteronomy.
And that's about as good a job as he's doing. He's doing a Deuteronomy kind of job. Stephen Baldwin is
Yo.
Here. Stephen, who's recently found Jesus Christ. He's always known him, but he got reacquainted with him a few years back.
I don't know about that. Recently.
A couple of years.
Jesus Christ found me.
That's right. That's
How cool
point.
Is that, dude?
That's a good answer.
Isn't that cool?
Now, you didn't go find him. He found you.
It's a predestined reality, Adam.
Right. And the
I
point is...
I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
I do. And Stephen is actually... he walks the walk, not only talks the talk. He packs a Bible with him.
Yeah.
Anybody that can hear my voice, go to a website called livinitthemovie.com. But it's living without the G. LIVINIT. livinitthemovie.com to check out a gnarly skate BMX DVD that I put together with all skateboarding Christian and BMX dudes that finally there's going to be a gnarly core sports movie out there with Christian dudes who are getting down for Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be that cheesy Christian you-know-what that is all this country has produced over the last 100 years.
Well, you know...
This is the new wave, the new movement of Christianity in America.
And when you say movement, you don't mean that in the number two kind of way. You mean it as more of a revolution, right?
Well, you know, it depends on the eyes and the ears that you have to hear and see with there, Adam. Now,
right.
No, I'm speaking spiritually, of course.
I understand.
So your interpretation is something else.
Let me ask you this. What about the muscle men for Jesus Christ? The guys who get out there, they take a phone book, they rip it in half, they take a baseball bat, they try to snap it over their head while the other ones are screaming religious chants at them. You ever see those guys?
No.
You never seen those guys?
Yeah, those guys are on cable. It's
You've
like the Tammy Faye channel. I think it's the same vein.
It's huge, pumped up guys who they're power lifters, and they're like lifting for Jesus. And the guy's like, blow up that hot water bottle, brother. All right, brother. And he starts blowing it, and his face starts turning red, and his bowels start pushing out through his anus, and the other guy starts screaming at him, do it for JC! And everyone goes nuts, and then he blows up the hot water bottle, and then he starts pumping and screaming and bending rebar over his head. It's great.
Right.
I don't know what it has to do with religion exactly, but he's getting the kids pumped up.
I do my own thing.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Don't judge others. You know what I mean?
You don't judge. That's my thing. I don't
the
judge.
The Lord is a great mystery, Adam.
I don't judge.
We'll never understand what he's doing or how he's doing it.
Right, we won't. But I'll tell you one thing we might understand. We might get some clarity because before we went to break, I took a look at Stephen's Bible, and I had a strong feeling. And once in a while, I'll even break into tongues. Shandala, shandala! Anyway, I worked with a guy named Frank who broke into tongues, but all he said was shandala, shandala.
Praise the Lord.
That's
or
all
temporal lobe seizure.
So anyway, Stephen brought a Bible. I said, turn to page 222 because I had a feeling.
Deuteronomy.
And then Dr. Bruce would read it, and somehow it would make sense. Do you understand that it would be germane to what we've spoken about tonight?
Bro, this is unbelievable. Like,
really?
Okay, you ready? Now you got to shut your fat face.
I thought I was going to use the F word.
Okay, because let me tell you something.
Yeah. Go ahead, read.
What you did.
Read from the Bible.
What you did is now you're doing your Corolla thing right now, right? And the Lord is speaking to you.
What does he say?
Deuteronomy, okay? And this is out of the 28th chapter, the 27th verse on page 222.
That was my page.
The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and the tumors and with the scab. Ooh. And with the itch from which you cannot be healed.
Wow.
Let me say that last part again. From which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness, with bewilderment of heart, etc., etc. Are you kidding me?
We're talking about anal sex and festering boils
stuff. The kid called up about the itch.
He did talk about the itch.
Right?
That's true.
We talked about the cauliflower before.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, that's true.
Then it jumps to the 45th verse, which is, this is like, I like when the Lord just kind of throws it down, like hardcore.
Yeah.
It says here, so all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. They shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever.
Because I picked a heavy page.
Because you
that
did
wasn't
not
a fluff page.
Because I spoke in tongues. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart. For the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you.
All right, so I picked a meaningful page.
Right.
Because there's got to be 500-600 pages there, right?
Oh, yeah.
What were the odds that you said page 222
right.
will be a page that references what we've been talking about tonight, and specifically the word itch, which was in a conversation tonight, was in the paragraph, the first paragraph of page 222. Now, here's the problem.
Yes.
Here's the problem, Adam.
What is it?
Just like when 9/11 happened and everybody went, oh, isn't that terrible? Mm-hmm. What's for lunch?
Right.
Yeah?
Yes.
See, now you're going to walk away tonight and go, I guess that was a little weird. Or maybe not even like consider that at all as some interesting coincidence. What were the odds that you jokingly said, turn to page 222, because I think it's going to reference this conversation tonight,
right?
And the word itch.
All right, but here's what I'm saying. What if I turn to page 114?
Hold on a sec, buddy. Out of over 1,300 pages in the book I'm holding.
Holy mackerel.
You picked the one that referenced the word itch.
I had an itchy rash.
Is that a coincidence?
No, I believe I'm
that a coincidence?
No, I'm a prophet. Is that what you're looking for? No? I don't know. It probably is a coincidence. I don't know. I don't know what the rest of the pages say. There could have been a juicy morsel on every page. That's all I'm saying.
You said, turn to page 222 because I have a feeling it's going to reference our conversation.
Well, that's true.
And you know what? And if it didn't reference it, you'd have been like, ha ha,
yeah, all right.
But it very ridiculously specifically referenced the conversation.
It was interesting that there's not
it
a lot of...
It used a word that we used in our... itch. It's next caller!
Not a lot of itchy conversations going on in the Bible, I'd imagine.
No?
All right, good. All right, I'm a new man. Javier?
Hey, what's up, man?
You're 24?
Yeah.
You read that eating peaches can raise your sperm count?
Well, I read it in a men's health magazine. I read it a while back, and I've always wondered that if that was true or not, and some nutritionists or doctors, whatever, said that it was. And I was like, okay.
What do you need to hire? First off, you're Mexican?
Yeah.
Javier?
Hispanic?
Yeah. Wait a minute. You got plenty of high sperm count.
Yeah,
you're
like
very virile people.
10 million sperm in an ejaculate.
Yeah, you got 10 million each hamper load. What do you want? 14 million?
Let me tell you the fact. Well, it's because I'm married and me and my wife are trying to have a child. But the thing is that if I've heard people have low sperm count and some have high sperm count. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes. It does vary. You're a 24-year-old guy.
Yeah.
You don't do any drugs?
No, I don't.
All right. You're fine.
Yeah, it's like some people have a high IQ and some people have a low IQ, but the 99% of
IQs...
Now
you're insulting the man.
No.
Here's the point, Javier. He's saying you have a low IQ.
No, I'm not.
I don't believe that. I refuse to believe that. Uh-oh, now with that goofy laugh, I think maybe you do. But here's the point. Here's the point. You will get your wife pregnant plenty soon. I don't know how long have you been trying?
4 months, maybe.
Okay. And you know when to do it, right?
Well, of course.
All right. And not in the back door either, right?
Of course.
All right, there, buddy.
You'll
be fine. Look, you try for what, a year, and if it doesn't happen, you go in and see a fertility doctor?
Uh-huh.
Bruce, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, a year.
He's 24. He's fine.
Yeah, some foods are, I don't know what the correlation is, but what did he mention? Peaches, pears?
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it. I just eat a healthy diet, and your body is fully capable of producing very healthy sperm without any kind of nutritional supplement.
That's right. I mean, listen, your body, you can eat, like, bark and berries and roaches and crap. And
today, sperm, right? There are very few people who have significant nutritional deficiencies.
Is our sperm count getting lower, though? I've always heard that. Is that heading down?
Is who's...
I don't mean me.
Our society? No.
That was too confusing, the phrasing of the question. It's our personal sperm?
No, I'm saying I've never heard
last
anything
time
to
I
indicate
counted,
to...
tallied up our sperm. I heard as a society it was sort of edging down.
No, not aware of that.
Not aware.
Is that, did Drew say
Drew that? Didn't say anything. You hear studies. You talk about, you know, societal pollutants, environmental stuff, ball muggers, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, sit too close to the TV. Steven, you got kids, right?
Yes, sir.
You're done with your sperm. You don't need it anymore.
No, I'm going again.
Oh, yeah, are you?
Oh, yeah.
How many kids do you have?
Two daughters.
You want a son? Doesn't matter.
Whatever the Lord brings me, Adam.
Oh, that's the attitude I need. Because I was just talking to somebody about...
I'm sorry, would you say that again, please?
That's just the attitude I need. I was just talking to someone at work about spinning the sperm to get a boy and doing all that
stuff.
Right.
In vitro.
How's that work, Bruce? Can you spin them? Can you get a boy sperm?
Sperm separation, yeah, they do. Yeah.
Sperm separation. How's that work? Beat off into a colander? How does that work? I'm going to try it anyway.
Into a centrifuge.
Centrifuge, you spin it around. Listen, you got Stephen Baldwin over here. The guy was in Biodome. He's telling you he knows more about doctoring than you do.
He knows more about centrifuging sperm.
No kidding. What's up with you? Come on, Bruce.
I only look stupid.
No, I know. You're twice as smart as Bruce over here, claims to be a doctor.
Bruce rocks.
Well, he looks at me cross-eyed.
Drew, don't ever come back here again.
You're not welcome. You're not welcome here anymore.
Me?
No, Drew.
Drew.
Drew's not welcome.
Drew's out.
Drew's the man.
Change the locks on the doors.
I'm serious.
And if he has a parking space, which I know he doesn't have, but if he had one, let's cross his name out.
Drew is evil.
He's evil.
You.
And you know why? I'll tell you why. Because Drew is half Jew and half Drew. No, he's half Jew and half Drew. Yeah, that's what he is. He's pagan is what he is.
No, he and I have the same.
He's pagan.
My father's Jewish. My mother's
He doesn't. But he didn't embrace the Lord like you did.
That's right.
He went the path, the secular path.
But why don't you got no play, playa?
And look at him. He thinks he's black. Yeah, he's got to go. He has no spirituality whatsoever.
Very spiritual.
I try to spread the. No, he's not.
He's spiritual from
a
medical standpoint.
Right. He's a man of science.
Yes, well, Mr. Grohl.
He's a man of the world.
Marilyn.
Yes.
You're 18.
Yes.
What's up?
I've had a problem with depression for like 4 years.
You gotta start reading that Bible, baby doll.
That's right.
And I have to take medication, but when I take it, I have no sex drive.
What are you taking?
I'm taking Wellbutrin and Paxil.
Why both?
Well, there are two different types of antidepressants. You have the Paxil serotonin reuptake inhibitor and
Wellbutrin for ADD.
Well, Wellbutrin is an atypical antidepressant. It's not the usual type of antidepressant. It's the only drug in the class that it's in, and it inhibits epinephrine reuptake. It's more epinephrine and dopamine. So it doesn't generally affect sex drive. And if physicians are treating somebody with depression and they're on an SSRI like Prozac or Zoloft or one of those things, then
I've been on that before.
Excuse me?
I've been on that before.
Right. So what I'm saying, though, is if you could be on Wellbutrin alone as an antidepressant, you wouldn't have the problems with the sex drive. It's one of those that's recommended for people that really complain a lot about the sexual side effects of the SSRIs. And those, and it affects sex drive and also...
What's the other one you're on? Wellbutrin and what?
Paxil.
Yeah, Paxil's whack.
Have you taken that?
Yeah.
No, but I have friends that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Have they tried you on Wellbutrin alone without the Paxil?
Yeah.
And what happened? It just didn't work. Wasn't enough?
No.
All right. So how about, and what's Viagra do for women these days? Anything? I hear about that. I said, tell women to take some Viagra.
Yeah? Give me another page, Drew.
All right.
It's time to get back to the Bible.
Drew, I'm Adam.
Adam.
Okay.
Have you talked, just recommendation, I would go back to your psychiatrist and talk to him about the problem, and maybe he could try you on a different antidepressant. Some have less sexual side effects than others. And have you discussed it with him?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Listen, I would start yelling at you if you weren't clinically depressed.
Yeah, I am.
No, it's a serious problem, and it's a huge quality of life issue with somebody that's already has a depression.
Okay.
Problem.
What about this? What about this? I know. Steven's going to give me a hallelujah, but it's like
hallelujah.
Well, let me finish. I'm Fisher. Okay, but it's coming. I'll cue you for the hallelujah here. What is wrong with discipline? I mean, what is wrong with somebody who's depressed, who's young? There's millions of 18- and 19-year-olds who are depressed. What's wrong with setting your alarm clock for 6:45 tomorrow morning when it goes off, no matter how badly you don't want to get out of bed? You get out of bed and you jog 3 miles. You come home, you do 30 push-ups, and you eat some granola, and you listen to a little classical music, and you punch yourself out of it a little bit. I mean, you overcome. Give me hallelujah now.
Hallelujah!
Because you're...
And because you're going to say, well, it's going to be impossible because when that alarm goes off, the person is depressed. I've been depressed in my life, and I know what it's like. It's like your everything, your whole body's been, all the guts have been taken out of you, and sand has been put back in your body. And it's hard to do, but yet you can push.
But clinical depression, you're describing an adjustment to sort of a situational depression, and it's physiologically different. An individual that has vegetative signs, which are... problems with loss of appetite, loss of energy. Some people are so profoundly weak that
right.
they physically, it's not a matter of will, mind over matter.
No, I understand that. I've had that.
No, you haven't had that.
Well, dare you? But my family has a lot. I come from
hallelujah.
A lot of depression. Not yet, I'll cue you though. I come from a lot of depression, and I've had many years where it was almost, life was sort of devastating and everything was
but
met
you
with
spiritually
red.
Changed and were able to overcome that because you made money.
Hallelujah!
Yeah, it's like
I give one now.
It's like you saying myself. To me, "Hey, I've been short of breath."
Here's what I did. Shush up. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying I hated my job. My girlfriend dumped me. I was in the worst. I was almost paralyzed. My back hurt, neck hurt, whatever. But I had to go to work. I had to, otherwise I was going to be in the street. Like I would get up and sit on the end of bed, and almost want to cry and just drag my crappy ass from my crappy car to some crappy job. And I would feel all day like I wanted to take a nap, but it's like I sort of was able to push through it. Now, I'm not saying that I was horribly, clinically depressed, but neither is everyone who's calling this show.
No, but she probably is.
She might be, but there's also a lot of people that are on the cusp, you know, who may not be debilitated
right, exactly.
by it, who really need to sort of kickstart themselves a little. And I don't want to just sound like some Pollyanna-ish gym coach, but there's a part of you that's going to have to discipline yourself.
You're absolutely right.
You don't feel like doing it. You must do it. You have to get up. You have to go to work.
Sure sound like a gym coach to me, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
My problem is, even when I'm on the medication, I've attempted suicide before, and I was hospitalized for it twice in, like, 1 month. So no matter what I do, it, like, keeps getting worse and worse over the years, no matter what medication I take. I've had two different
All right, were you abused? Were you abused?
When I was younger.
Yeah, well, that's...
Did you have a family history of depression and or suicide attempts or completions?
Yes.
Okay, so you have the genetics, you've had a chaotic family, and you're a setup for this, and you probably have the real clinical depression with vegetative signs where it affects your appetite, your sleep, your energy level.
Listen, you need to talk to your psychiatrist, by the way, and get your stuff adjusted and stick. And by the way, 18's a crappy age. Things get better. Things get easier if you stick with it. Don't kill yourself.
Well, and there are other antidepressants that have less sexual side effects, but you need to get into that with your psychiatrist.
And, but listen, if you're thinking about killing yourself, the sexual side effect is not really the problem of essence right now. I'm gonna ask our guest, Stephen Baldwin of Celebrity Mole, on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock. Go to page 1136. I bet there's something poignant that can be steered toward a young, depressed Marilyn here. I bet we can touch her life in some way if you just open the Bible and turn to page 1136. Bruce probably memorized it.
Let me.
Yeah, was that old? Is that new? Where
Revelation.
Are we?
I think you're in Revelation.
You're in Revelation. Wow, Bruce. I whatever information that
or
young,
maybe you're in
young
John.
Stephen,
we're talking about John. Where are we? Where's 1136 there, Stephen?
Yeah, it's John. you're.
I'm good, right? Right. There could be something here, some information that Stephen is going to impart to young Marilyn that's going to help her with her depression.
Okay, here's the words of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
I'm ready.
It says on page 1136. It's John 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We said John 3:16 before is what he said.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
This
now I'm impressed.
This is John. You just said page 1136.
That's
now
right.
In every different Bible, 3:16 is going to be on a various different page based on the translation, right?
Uh-huh.
What are the odds that you would call that number and it's John 3:16, which we talked to earlier today?
70%.
One in a million. That's
what? Bizarre. Oh, look at that.
Woo.
Wow. John 3, Corolla 0.
He's still not speechless, folks.
Wow. All
never.
Right. Wow, we got
dude,
to John
look at me, look at me, look at me. Are you kidding me right now?
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Is that great?
So it says here at the top of page 1136, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Wow. All right, so that message is telling Marilyn to
become a born-again Christian.
Yeah. Right.
It's telling her to become a born-again Christian.
That is.
If she accepts Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and she becomes baptized in the Holy Spirit, the healing power of God could come upon her. Her depression could completely go away, and she may never need any drugs again.
Marilyn, how about it?
No, I'm atheist.
Yeah, well, you're atheist, right. You're living in your folks' basement, and you're thinking about suicide. Where's that got you? How about finding Jesus Christ?
Marilyn, you want to have some fun?
No.
Just, what'd she say, no?
Marilyn.
No, hold on a second. I want to talk to her for a second. Marilyn, did you say no?
No, I said how.
Okay, well, I'm about to tell you. You ready?
Yeah.
Later on tonight, you listening?
Yes.
Later on tonight, because in the Bible it says that the only way to have true faith and belief in God is in order to, you have to do it blindly. You have to, like, almost act as if it's true, whether you believe it or not. That's what it says in the Bible. So you want to have some fun?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the truth right now. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here comes the truth. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but this is the truth. You ready?
Yep.
Later on, when you're alone and you're by yourself, if you just, even if you don't believe it, if you just say, Jesus Christ.
Oh, come on, Anderson, please. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
If you just ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to come into your heart and you say, forgive me of my sins and I want you to take over my life and I want you to come in my heart, and you're asking for the love of Jesus to come into your heart and your soul, you know what's going to happen?
I've done that.
What happened?
Nothing.
You accepted Jesus Christ? You accepted Jesus Christ?
Yes, I did.
How long ago?
I've been doing it for a few years because I had clinical depression for 4 years.
What did he look like? What was he wearing? He's sandals?
He's what? Being silly. When did you do that?
I did it just like 1 month ago, and then I do it pretty often, but then I became atheist because I was like, you know, this isn't real. This is really stupid.
Let me ask you a question. But when you do it, do you use do you use the word God or do you use Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, and then do you follow it up at all by reading the Word or reading the Bible or going to any church at all?
Yeah, I have the Bible in my room.
And how often do you read it?
Every night.
What?
Every night?
Yeah.
Right, do you go to church
what's
on
your favorite,
Sundays?
What's your favorite book?
I don't know.
But you read it every night, so you got to be remembering what you're reading, right?
Pretty much.
Okay, well, you know what? God's speaking to you tonight, Marilyn.
Hey, Marilyn, I went to page 1136, and it spoke to you. Now read your Bible again, please. Take those meds. Talk to your shrink. We got to take a break. Hey, listen, Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah, Stephen's doing
a little storefront preaching here. Absolutely. from the Loveline studio.
So, Adam, what about you tonight, brother? What are the odds? 222 and 1136. What are the odds, Adam? I think Jesus is speaking to Adam Carolla tonight more than Marilyn.
It'd be nice. Yeah.
You're going to hear about after the show, glass of wine, good porno, and a little masturbation.
Oh, how dare. What'd you say, glass of wine? Oh, no, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. That's to me, that's the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Booze, the sperm, and the porn. All right, that's a holy trilogy for me.
Yeah.
Let's take ourselves a little break. Stephen Baldwin here from Celebrity Mole, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Praise be. Filling in for Dr. Drew and doing a wonderful job. Stephen Baldwin in tonight.
Hallelujah.
Filling in for Jimmy Swaggart and doing a wonderful job.
Praise the Lord.
Stephen can be found on Celebrity Mole. That is ABC Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock. Corbin Burnson is there.
Hey, anybody
yeah,
that can,
ever heard? Yeah.
Anybody that can hear the sound of my voice right now should check out a website called livingitthemovie.com. LIVINITthemovie.com. And if you really want to get down, you can also go to a thing called LongBeachDistribution.com, because that's some other stuff I'm doing with some skaters called King of Kings Clothing and Reliance Skateboards. It's gnarly. Check it out. And then if you really, really, really want to get down, you can check out LegitSkateCo.com. LegitSkateCo.com.
When did you get in all the skating stuff?
.com. Dude, I told you, I made this movie, like a documentary about skateboarding evangelists that... Mm-hmm. You know, because I became a born-again Christian 2 years ago, and I went out and looked around about what was really cool in the marketplace, like movies, music, and all this kind of stuff. And there's nothing. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that was hip and now and cool and today that was Christian.
Right.
And I thought that sucked.
So it's like, are these guys going like, I'm going to do this fakie on this half pipe for Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, but dog... They are getting these are gnarly radical skateboarders.
Wow.
who don't have to live of the world and all that represents.
Mm-hmm.
They can be filled with the Holy Spirit, living for God, not be afraid, and still like have a tattoo or a piercing.
How
or whatever.
How old are most of these guys?
They're all ages. I mean, Bruce Chrisman is the gold medalist from the 2001 X Games and BMX.
Right.
He's a hardcore born-again Christian.
Really?
Loves the Lord with all his heart.
Did you see that Dogtown movie,
and
by
Z-Boys,
the way?
Yeah.
That was a great documentary about
Brilliant.
The old Dogtown, Venice, all the stuff for the whole skateboarding movement, or sort of modern skateboarding movement.
LivingItTheMovie.com, LongBeachDistribution.com, and LegitSkateCo.com, people.
David.
Hey.
You're 21?
Yep.
You heard of Bruce. You had a question for Bruce about UV tattoo removals?
Yeah, I heard from a friend that you can get a UV tattoo that you can't see, obviously, in the normal light. But if you go under a black light, it's there.
It's the mark of the beast.
That's right.
Yeah, I've heard of those, but I've never had a request to remove one for probably obvious reasons. Unless you're walking around under black lights, you don't have a tattoo.
Yeah,
right.
But they just use that kind of the same ink they use?
You know, there's one of the problems with tattoo ink is there's no standardization. There's no one has the responsibility to report exactly what's in it. So the FDA doesn't control the production or distribution or sales of it.
Why doesn't it, by the way? I mean, if you think of how involved they are in almost every facet of our lives, I mean, I'm sure they check more into dog food than they do into tattooers, ink. Why not? Why isn't that regulated?
Probably there haven't been many complaints. It started out that it was illegal to get tattoos. Up until, I don't know, 7-10 years ago, it was illegal in New York. It's illegal now. In Oklahoma right now, as far as I know, it's illegal to get a tattoo.
Wow.
Well,
I didn't know about that.
I think it's one of these things, state by state, it slipped through the cracks. It's being done. One of the concerns was needles that aren't clean. And then when they got the state health, sometimes is much more stringent than the feds would be.
Right.
I know in Nevada, they're much more after them for cleanliness and,
oh, really?
And other issues. Hmm. But then when they got after them for the needles, then they found out they were having multi-use of a vial of ink, so there was some, you know,
contaminated perhaps.
But right now, you know, from what I've seen, the shops, you know, the guys, El Toro Ink House and Tattoo Mania in Hollywood and Outer Limits, the guys that I've dealt with, very clean shops. I mean, meticulously
Invisible tattoo?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, certainly. There's always talk about, you know, now inks have acrylics in them. That was the other concern. And I was told, I was at a tattoo convention trying to learn more about what's actually in the inks, talking
You're
to some of the
artists. You're trying to get laid. Let's be honest.
Far from it. No, really.
You nailed the jigsaw puzzle chick.
No, there's some gorgeous women walking around with that.
Right.
But acrylic, the concern was, are you going to laser plastic that's in the skin as a result of the ink? I had one guy that put remember the testers, paints, and the models? He'd done that late 60s, and he wanted me to. So I ended up lasering it. It was very interesting stuff.
Yeah, Dr. Bruce is going to do a little laser blasting on Steven's tats, a couple of them.
Yeah,
Get rid of those. Now, how long do you think it'll take to get rid of? How many sessions before Steven's are gone?
I'd say 10 a month apart.
10 a month apart.
And won't be able to tell you ever had a tattoo.
Really?
And he's doing it free. How cool is that?
First one's
Praise
free.
The Lord.
First
Well,
first
they're so
session
small.
Free.
They're very small, actually. So
first session free. It's he's like a heroin dealer. He gives the school kids the first hit free, let them chase a dragon, get hooked, and then they keep coming back.
Like Drew. Drew likes the way it feels on his face for the. Oh,
he
that's
does.
Different though.
Yeah,
he doesn't have any tattoos. No, I'll have to write a script and have you read the script or something. Isn't that what they all do?
Oh. Sure.
All right, let's talk to Sandra over here, who's 22 years of age. Sandra.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you guys something. You ever handling a pen or a piece of paper or something, and you're just not paying attention, all of a sudden you realize you got a little snoogie on your finger, and you start balling it up a little, and then you go, wait a minute, whose snoogie is this? That's not my snoogie. Who put this snoogie here? Well, wait, maybe it's my snoogie. I don't know. Maybe someone else has put it on this pen. I just got a little snoogie thing going on, and I was thinking, snoogie could have shot out of my nose, but this could have been up Jed the Fish's nose 4 hours ago, for
Absolutely.
All I know. Yeah. You don't know. All right, now I got the snoogie thing going now.
Get away from us.
Go ahead, Sandra.
Okay.
a little tangential.
Last year, I happened to go to a motel with my boyfriend. You know, just spend a couple days there, the weekend there or whatever. And I went into a hot tub and I got a yeast infection. And this whole time through, I haven't had any health insurance. So I haven't been able to get treated. And so I tried treating myself with, like, Monistat. I tried, like, the one dose and then the 7-day dose and 3-day dose until I could actually save up the money to go to the doctor and get the, you know, pelvic and everything like that. And then I got treated, and then, you know, the discharge turned clear. But then a couple days after I was done with it, me and my boyfriend didn't do anything sexually at all, and it turned colored again. But ever since, I haven't really had any symptoms besides color discharge. And I would assume it's still, you know, a yeast infection and everything. And if it actually is, I was just wondering what can happen, you know, to your system down there with the uterus and everything.
No, there's no long-term complications. I mean, the problem is, could there be something else causing it? For instance, sometimes the first diagnosis of diabetes is made after somebody has recurrent yeast infections.
Is it does a yeast infection in and of itself cause any damage?
No.
No.
And the yeast organism is all over the place. So it has usually more to do with, you know, wearing different type nylons or a pH change down there or something else systemically going on in your body.
What should she do if she doesn't have insurance?
Well, go to Planned Parenthood, get another pelvic. I mean, you can get a free pelvic somewhere. You just need to have it looked at. Make there's really you need to have a doctor examine you or a nurse at least and find out if there's something else. You're describing colors and the way the discharge looks and things like this. You know, it needs to be looked at under a slide. You need to have some cultures done.
Santa.
You need an exam. I mean, there's no way over the radio that we can.
Yeah. Much as we'd like to look at your vagina over the radio, we don't have the technology to afford that just yet.
Right. I mean,
God
you're not
willing. It's on the way.
Yeah, you're diagnosing yourself as having a recurrent yeast infection and asking me if there's any long-term consequences when we really don't know that's what's going on. So.
All right. Hey, Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have insurance, right?
No.
Okay, so go to Planned Parenthood.
Okay.
And throw your vulva on the mercy of those good people over there.
All right. All right, thank you.
All right, baby doll. Well, going to take a break. Steven is going to wrap out and not be with us the last break. He's got some of the Lord's work to do.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that, brother. Praise the Lord. You're catching on, dude.
Going to a meeting. Going to do a little noshing.
I'm
going to
pray for you, too, Adam.
Will you?
I am, dude.
Thanks.
I am, because you're obviously such a retard that if you can't see the Lord speaking to you... Talked about itch, you say 222, it says itch.
That's true.
Talk about John 3:16, you say 11:36, and it's John 3:16.
That is true.
That's two of the most ridiculous coincidences I ever heard in my life.
Well, maybe I'll get hit by lightning or something on the way home.
Huh? You know what I've always said to Adam is he doesn't like a lot of Christians he's known because a lot of them have been inconsistent. They don't walk their talk.
Right.
But I think knowing you would be a good thing because you seem to be very consistent with what you believe. And I've also said to Adam, if you knew Christ, you'd probably like Christianity. But it's some of the representatives aren't always the best examples of what it's all about, unfortunately.
Well, right. I think that after tonight, some incredibly supernatural things are going to start to happen around him.
Bruce, what do you think Christ would say about the 17 sugars you put in your coffee and then the 5 packets of Sweet and Low?
Unacceptable.
You think he would do that?
He'd forgive him.
If Christ pulled up a cup
I'll tell
of
you
Joe
what,
down
I'll
here?
Tell you what.
You know,
what?
Sounds like...
I'll tell you what. You're asking a very, very valid question.
I am.
What would Christ think of all the sugar Bruce puts in his coffee?
That's right.
I don't know. When Christ thought about the sin of the world, mm-hmm. he allowed himself to be crucified in order to accept it.
Right. But he turned the water into wine, not the coffee into ice cream.
You know what Christ would say,
Jackass?
He'd say, people... Obviously, you're judging me because they think I had wine, and that's an issue. So
that's right.
He would say it's not what you put in your body.
Yes.
It's the belief, it's your faith that makes you whole and saves
your soul.
All right, listen,
come on, read the whole
praise
temple,
the Lord.
The temple part. All right, praise the Lord. Stephen Baldwin,
there you go. You're
God bless you and Godspeed. Celebrity Mole Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock on ABC. Cool. And one more shout out for the website.
Yeah, livinitthemovie.com, livinit without the G. TheMovie.com, LongBeachDistribution.com, and Legit Skate Co.
Shandala, Shandala, Shandala! Well, what do you know about that, everybody? Dr. Bruce, man has studied the Bible extensively. Yes?
Well, yeah, I went to Christian schools my whole life.
Mm, it's good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Stephen Baldwin has left the building. Him and some Mexican nuns are building a church in the desert. He'll be back upon completion. All right. Let's get back to the phones now. I know you want to talk to Casey, the dude over here. Doesn't like to have sex with a condom on. But I'm going to talk to Stormy with the big boobs over here. You know why? Because I'm hetero. Stormy?
Hello?
What is happening?
Well, I have large boobs.
Yeah. What size are you?
I am a 34D.
34D.
Almost a double D.
Almost a double D. And here's the thing, folks. I have to remind you, listeners, that you really want to focus on that first number not being so big. A lot of guys, oh, man, she's a 52D. Now, that means she's got a back like a junior college linebacker.
Right.
You understand? You want that low first number, and then you want the D when it falls. 34D, very solid. How tall are you?
I am 5'4".
5'4", and how much you weigh?
About 115 pounds.
113. All right. So you're a petite woman.
Yes.
With a large rack.
Yes. Very large.
Excuse me. I have to beat off. Leave your sweat.
It just kind of happened one day.
Oh. Huh?
It just kind of happened one day.
All right. And you're 22.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to look into a reduction.
Yes. I don't know necessarily if I want a full reduction. I heard there's something called a tuck, like where they pull all the skin up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Are you having back problems?
I have back problems. And I'm a little modest about them.
Mm-hmm. Big areola?
No.
No.
Have you had kids?
Just checking.
Yes, I have a 4-year-old.
And did you breastfeed for quite a while? Or
9 months.
Okay. So you've had some drooping also after the pregnancy.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to consult a plastic surgeon. I mean, I've talked to, I've spoken to Dr. Marcel, who is our resident plastic surgeon, who really, they really are the pimps of the doctor world.
Oh, yeah.
Year-round tan, pinky ring, open shirt. Just got back from some debaucherous Club Med-type vacation for swingers. Every time I speak to the guy, pulls up in a Porsche Boxster. I mean,
Where is the Hippocratic Oath?
Jesus Christ.
My God.
Hippocratic Oath, he balled it up and smoked it in Jamaica last time he was there trying to swing with some couple.
Sounds like nip and tuck.
Are you kidding me?
Jeez.
And now but he does a lot. Also does a lot of work with, people have had landmines gone off in their face and stuff. He'll give them a boob job. People that were horribly burned, gives them a boob job. He gives everyone a boob job. You know, poor kids from, former Soviet bloc countries with cleft palates and hair lips.
They come out with breasts.
Boob job. Yeah. Even the guys. Boob job. That's all he knows. But the point is he gives back to the community through boob jobs. So what Stormy needs to do is first you got to take a picture. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because once they're gone, they're gone. And then the second thing you need to do is go in and consult a plastic surgeon. And they'll just tell you what they can and can't do. There's not, according to Dr. Marcel. Yeah, it's really more the it's more the bachelor from the Flying Nun than he is an actual MD. But the point is you, Carlos, the swarthy, handsome foreigner. Remember him?
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. The point is you need to go in and just consult a few people. They'll tell you what to do. They don't really have a. They don't really have a lift so much as they just.
They
have augmentation and.
Well, reduction is one of the most common procedures they do these days. Believe it or not.
I know, but I think there's a little bit of a fallacy that you can just go in there and get a lift.
Oh no, there are women that's all they have done, especially after childbearing and when the drooping occurs. So
I talked to Marcel about this on more than one occasion, and. I don't know. It's not. Here's all I'm saying. It's not as easy as it is. It's not as subtle a procedure as you may think.
Right. There may be moving around some more tissue than you'd expect. But
I think people think you're going to go in, you're going to pinch the skin at the top, you're going to pull the breast up, sew it up, and you're done kind of thing. It's a procedure. But anyway, go in and consult and take a picture for Christ's sake. Casey.
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend doesn't like to have sex with a condom.
Nope. She says it ruins the moment.
How long have you been with her?
2 months.
Can she get on the pill?
She says she is, but she hasn't proved it to me yet.
What is this lack of trust you guys have at the 2-month mark?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to do it if she's not on the pills because, it's really not safe. Well,
why would she lie about this? Why don't you trust her, I guess is the question.
Because I don't trust her at all. Like, I've heard that she's cheated on other boyfriends and stuff, so.
Hmm. Okay, well, look, if you guys, it doesn't sound like you got much to build a relationship on here.
No.
And maybe I'll just break it off. It doesn't seem like you're wildly in love with her. You certainly don't trust her. Why don't you just cut your losses and move on?
Because she's hot.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're asking for trouble. That's not going to end up in a good way.
All right, look, I'm done talking to Jackass Casey, but here's the thing.
Good advice, though.
you know, a lot of people are in these relationships with, I don't trust a person, I think they're lying, they're abusive. Look, if you don't have any kids, you're not married, there's no commitment, you're not, you know, your name's not both down on the deed of some condo or something, just get out of there.
Right.
You're young, you move on, that's what you do.
But he's young enough to think, oh, she's hot.
There are hot chicks around who will pay attention to you. All right, and by the way, you're going to have difficulty ever getting documentation that she's on the pill, even if she says she's on the pill or buys the pill or shows you the expired packets. It doesn't mean she's on it. If you don't trust her, then you're not in great shape, so you got to wear the condoms.
Yeah.
All right, don't
get gonna stop enjoying sex. That's when he'll quit.
All right, let's talk to Diana. Hi. Diana.
Hi.
You want sex all the time before you had a kid? And now you want now does it just for your boyfriend? All right, you're not into sex anymore.
Yeah.
How long ago did you have the kid?
13 months.
All right. Postpartum depression. What do you say, Bruce?
Well, postpartum depression is. Are you depressed? I mean, this doesn't sound like depression right off the bat, but it's very common after pregnancy and after having the child. The dynamics of the relationship change. There are many reasons that. It's common for the pattern of having sex and the attraction is right. Much different.
Are you think you're depressed, Diana?
No. Definitely.
Okay. You got we got 10 seconds here. What you
hormonal
do?
See changes, the doctor? See the doctor and also, well, I'd see the doctor.
See the doctor. Maybe he puts you on the pill or something like that, adjust the hormones.
I don't know if she's still breastfeeding or not. But
all right. That might do something, too.
Yes.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo. It's your born-again leader, Ace Rockola, over here. Yeah, I found the Bible. I want to thank Stephen Baldwin for coming in here and sharing the good news with us. He can be found, I imagine, him on just you and him on a resort, and he's dumping that Bible for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Other celebrities are trying to get high and get laid. He's yelling at him about Deuteronomy. All right. Stephen Baldwin, dear, dear friend, in here tonight. I want to thank him. Celebrity Mole, ABC, 10 o'clock Wednesday night. Dr. Bruce, fantabulous job. You coming in tomorrow night?
Absolutely.
God bless you, buddy.
Amen.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying, Shundala, 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 mahalo.
I'm going to pray for you too, Adam.
Will
you? I am, dude.
Thanks.
I am, because you're obviously such a retard.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.